W4HKX, monitoring.
KO4HKX, W4DJW. You still there, Patrick?
Roger that, I'm here. How you doing today?
Doing good. Was wondering if you ever got in touch with David, or if you guys are still crossing paths without intersecting.
Not got in touch with him today. I heard him earlier, but I couldn't get to him. For some reason, I'm getting a lot of static up here on my end. I don't know if it's just me or everywhere.
I think it comes and goes. I think it's probably that thing that keeps that the other repeater owners are discussing among themselves that keeps wandering up and down the band. And when it comes over your input frequency and you key up, you get a lot of static while it's there. And then when it moves on and it's gone, you don't get it. You can hear that on other repeaters as well. So I think it comes and goes. But right now you're rock solid. You sound like you're sitting right here next to me in the room.
Good to know, because I can barely make out what you're saying on my end.
Well, I'm only doing 5 watts. If I need to bump it up, I can. Let me look at bumping it up a little bit. Okay.
I'm getting a squeal on my end if you're trying to get into it.
Okay, did that squeal go away now?
Wait, the white noise or the static's still there, but I can make out what you're saying.
Okay, what kind of antenna do you have where you are?
I have a Tram 1411. I'm waiting on my other antenna to get here. I just recently picked up this radio.
How high is that tram up off the ground?
On the roof of the front porch, so it's about 15, 20 feet in the air.
Well, that's not bad. I mean, as good as you sound coming in here, are you running? How much power are you running?
I just have it set on 15 watts.
Okay, well, you're rock solid on 15 watts. I'm not sure why you have a hard time hearing me. If anybody else is listening and wants to chime in, that'd be good to know. Maybe something's going wrong with my radio, with my transmitter.
Because my ID 5100 sitting outside is the same way. It's something about right here where I'm at. I can move away from here in my excursion and hear everybody fine. It's just right here at the house. I don't know what it is. And it's just started here in the last little bit.
Trying to think of what that might be. Nothing's coming to mind at the moment, though. But you sure you're getting out really good. It's just getting back to you. That means your signal is going to take the same path in both directions, I would think. Maybe not. Maybe you're bouncing off of something getting in. I don't know. It's hard to put together. RF does some strange things, especially VHF. You can move a foot in one direction or the other and go from hearing you loud and clear to not hearing you at all just by moving up 1 foot or 2 feet.
I'm on the FT-991 right now, and like I said, it just started with this about a week ago that I started having problems receiving everybody, even on my ID 5100 in the vehicle. I could move it out in the yard just a little bit, and it'll pick up fine. I had to take it where I couldn't even set it on a crossband repeat unless I park it out away from the house.
When you move it out to the yard, could it be that you're leaving a jumper cable in the house and you're not using that jumper cable when you go outside and you are using that jumper cable when you come back in?
Talking about moving my vehicle out in the yard. The radio that I got is set right here in the same place. I got two radios, the ID 5100 and the Yaesu FT-991.
Okay, I was just wondering if it was, you know, like sometimes you can get a length of a coax that is an odd multiple of a quarter wave. And what it does is it acts like a reflector. It just heats up. It gets hot, right? You can feel it. You can grab the coax and you can feel it. And if you're like unscrewing that coax and going and screwing in another coax in another location, it could be that that's the problem. So sometimes that happens. I was downstairs with Ray one night at his house, and he was telling me about earlier. He had a similar problem to what you have right now. And he went feeling the coax after he'd been talking for a while. He felt it really, really hot. And he did the math, and it came out that that length of that coax, that piece of coax that was in there, was an odd multiple of a quarter wave length of the frequency he was transmitting on. All he had to do was lengthen or shorten it, and it fixed it. The problem went away. So strange things like that. W4DJW.
Break sticks. But right now, the static is going down. So whatever it is, something's interfering with it, and I'm not sure what it is.
Well, there is, but usually I would hear it too. There is a hump in the noise floor around 146 megahertz and up to 150 and down to 130 megahertz. And it just moves around, move up and down the band. I took like a RTL STR and a Flex 5000 up there, one of those radios that have a scope, the STR radios that have a waterfall, because it got real bad at one point in time. So we just took, loaded the truck up with computer equipment, went up there and just started watching the whole noise floor for 2 meters, the whole band. And you could see that hump that I'm talking about. It's just the noise floor would go up, and then it'd come back down, and it'd just stay that way in one location. And then it would start drifting up, and you could see the tail of it falling off at an angle in the waterfall as it would drift up. And then it would stop, and it'd just wander back and forth for a little bit, and then move up a little bit more, and then it might move down a little bit more. And it would just wander. And if it ever got to where it was right on your input frequency, and it doesn't matter if it's ours or if it's the 6.4s or if it's the 7 or 4.7, 145.47, it doesn't matter which one it was. If it gets over your input frequency and it hangs out there for a little while, even if you have a tone, somebody keys up and starts talking, it's going to mix with your signal because it's your receiver is now open and listening to that plus the person that's talking. And all you get is noise, right? There's a whole lot of people. I was talking a couple of weeks ago with N9GSX Mike down lower, down below us. And he was, he's got some really good theories for why it is. And one of the things he's taught us how to do is fox hunting and triangulating. And that's what our next plan is when that gets really bad, to go on three separate mountains, three different people with three different Yagis and that fox hunting hardware, and cross all of our vectors and find out where that thing is. Where is it? Let it down a little bit so it wouldn't time out the repeater, but find out where it is and what it's doing. W4DJW.
As you know, I'm new to this, so I'm still trying to figure out just the basics. So I'm learning as I go on it, though.
Well, that's good. That's how you learn. School of hard knocks. That's probably the best teaching tool there is.
I turned wrenches for almost 20 years, and I learned a lot of lessons the hard way. Don't do that again. That's the long way around.
I may have told you this already. My cousin and I, when we were teenagers, I had a 64 and a half or 65 Mustang Fastback. And as soon as I bought it, my mom was driving it home. I was 14. I had just got a job. I was 14 years old. I had my driver's license. I could drive it. But my mom was driving home, and she left the brakes up, the brake thing up. So first thing I got it, I had to replace the brakes because by the time she got home, they were smoking. And then not 2 weeks later, it dropped these little covers around the valve stems, these little plastic covers down in the oil pan. And the oil pump picked one of them up, and it stuck between the gears and the oil pump, and it froze the oil pump. And then the distributor shaft that drives the oil pump twisted like a pretzel. It just broke it right off. And my sister was driving it when that happened, and it was a goner. I needed a whole new top end. The sleeves, the pistons, it was galded. It was no good. I mean, let it drop. So I ordered a new new engine from J.C. Whitney, well, a short block assembly, and took the heads and everything up to Doc Green and Traveler's Rest, and got them all flattened again, and got everything all back together, and got it running again. And then the transmission was having trouble. And I was asking my cousin, I said, the torque converter's got four bolts that hold the torque converter on, little ones, like 9/16, not very big, fine thread. He said, 90 foot-pounds. He's reading it out of the, and so I get the torque wrench on there, and I try to put 90 foot-pounds on a 9/16 fine thread bolt. And you know what happened. It just popped right off. School of Hard Knocks, W4DJW.
It's not going to hold that kind of torque at all.
Well, when I was 14 years old, I had no clue. I thought, okay, this is made out of some weird stuff that's super strong. No, not true.
It's a hard place to get them out of, too.
Yeah, because there's no room in there. I had to take it off. I think I had to wind up getting another torque converter, because I think those are spot welded on the torque converter, and that's the stud is on the outside. And I think I wound up having to get another torque converter altogether. Anyway, back then they were pretty easy to find because 65 Mustangs were in junkyards, in every junkyard you went to. Not anymore.
A lot of people love to have those back.
Yeah, mine met his end with a head-on accident. I was going down a hill, and another guy in a Buick Opal was coming up a hill and around the corner, and he was going too fast. He lost it and crossed over center line, hit me head-on. And that was the end of that car. That was a good car, though. I hated I lost that car.
I had a 68 model when I was growing up. My mom and stepdad did that they were trying to fix, and somebody rear-ended us and took it out.
Yeah, those things are expensive nowadays. I was looking at one the other day. I was looking at 59 Chevrolet pickups, too. I came across a 65 Mustang. $30,000 for that 65 Mustang. And when you drive a new car today, or a $30,000 car today that's nice and tight and rides good and it's got air conditioning, and then you go back to one of those, I mean, they look good sitting there static, not moving, but they drove like a boat. I don't know if you ever drove a boat underwater, but back then, before radial tires came out, they had that real soft suspension. I mean, and it'd lean over really hard in the turns, and it'd squeal. They go around corners much better nowadays. They ride better nowadays. Spending $30,000 on a vehicle like that, that's hard for me to do, even though they still look good. W4DJW.
I'm with you on that one. It's hard to spend that kind of money on one that's been done, but that's a piece of history that can never be gotten back, so that's why it's that value.
That's true. Well, I got to go downstairs and help my wife with a rug. She put a new rug in the dining room. I got to help move everything out of there and put the rug down and get back up. But anyway, heard you throw your call out there. Just thought I'd say hello and how you doing. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. I'm going to try to do the same. W4DJW.
4DJW, KO4HKX, clear. And thank you. And I've been trying to listen for Dave, so thank you again for letting me know you're trying to find me.
No problem. W4DJW, clear.